You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with MLB.com Nationals reporter Jamal Collier. We're continuing our way around the roster really as we get ready for spring training 2017, a new home of course for the Nationals coming up in spring training. We'll talk about that at some point here on the podcast as well, Jamal, but it's corner infield day here on the podcast, and that's an interesting spot for this Nationals team. This team's got to feel good about the hot corner after what Anthony Rendon did last year, but questions remain at first base. So let's start there with Ryan Zimmerman. Ryan Zimmerman's still just 32 years old, which kind of blows my mind a little bit, Jamal, because the way it's gone the last few years, it seems like he's an aging ball player, but that's not the case. He's, of course, had the injury issues, the plantar fasciitis last year. They kind of eased him in, and he just had a terrible season at the plate. So from a health standpoint, it seems like he's in a better spot this year heading into 2017. Is that true?
Yeah, that's definitely true. Coming up in 2015, he missed a lot of time with the plantar fasciitis. And that was kind of the reason that they decided to ease him in here. Not exactly sure how that was going to react, how much it would hamper him, how much it would limit him. And really in spring training, I don't think he played a game in spring training until about mid-March. And Zim has kind of admitted just the way his swing and his footwork and everything kind of sets up. It does take him a while to kind of get his rhythm and get everything put together. And I kind of wonder that since he did kind of get a late start, intentionally late start on spring and the workouts and such, was that just the fact that he was still trying to find his rhythm for so much of the season and then had a couple other injuries kind of set him back as well, other things that kind of never let him really get into a groove. So right now he's healthy. We saw him at NAS Winterfest in D.C. last month, and he said he already started working out. He had already started kind of getting ready for the season to come. So, he looks like he's ahead of schedule for where he was last year. Interesting to see whether or not they still try to limit him somewhat, or whether they'll say, okay, we're going to go full go, because he did play more games last year than he had been kind of the last couple of years, but just kind of was not effective and productive, I should say, when he was out there. So this position is probably, I think I wrote about it this week, it's probably one of the most perplexing positions for the Nationals, because they know who's going to start. They know Zim is going to be the starter. But you kind of have no idea what exactly you're going to get from him. But they've also kind of committed to him as being their starting first baseman and going forward with him. So it's kind of a make or break year for him and his future with the Nets.
Yeah, and traditionally, obviously, first base is a position where you expect to get some offensive pop out of. So you hope he can deliver that again. And like we said, he's just 32 years old. So you would hope, if healthy, he can figure it out. Go ahead.
That's the thing, is he's not old necessarily. Yeah. Like you said, he's been around forever. He made his debut at age 20. So that's why it kind of feels, not obviously injury to last year, have also been, last couple of years has been a thing. But, it's a guy, like you said, still 32, but he's coming off three seasons where he's been injured, or not very effective, and his numbers are kind of, rip heels are all going the wrong way. 3 years, you can kind of still make, I don't say excuses, but you can kind of say, okay, well, this thing went wrong or this thing happened or whatever. But if you go to a fourth consecutive year where he just is not very good or not very productive, that's kind of when you have to figure out something here and either try to part ways or try to make an improvement somewhere, an upgrade somewhere.
How about defensively? Because obviously he's a guy who was a third baseman for much of his career. He's moved over to first base. How far has he come as a defensive first baseman?
This is an odd one here. The metrics hate him. The metrics do not rate him well. He only played first base really the last two seasons. Watching him every day, and of course, the old eye test is what it is, but watching him and just some of the things he can, people throwing him, some of the things that he does make at first base, he seems about average, seems to be fine, doesn't kind of make anything egregious or anything really spectacular. So, he's an interesting first baseman in that he's not probably a plus defender. At best, he's probably an average defender. And it's first base, so you can kind of get away with that if you have the offense or the power and stuff to make up for it. But, probably at best an average defensive first baseman, and on some days a little worse than that.
When you look across the diamond to third base, Anthony Rendon, obviously a huge bounce back season in 2016, although he got off to a slow start as well. I remember early in the season we talked about it a little bit on this podcast with Bill Latson about the fact that there was starting to be questions of when or if he would ever kind of come around and get back to the guy that he was back in 2014. But he did that, and he finished really strong and overall had a really solid season. The power numbers were there. The RBIs were there. And the average wasn't what I think it can be, but it was good enough at 270, the OBP 348. This is the Anthony Rendon the Nationals thought they were going to have year after year after year, and now it looks like he will be again.
Yeah, similar. I mean, going into last year and into that first half, this is also a huge question mark because Rendon obviously had the big breakout in 2014, and then in 2015 he was hurt, but then also really, you know, not very good when he was playing. And he really, you know, after like you said, that start, it was pretty abysmal. And you kind of wondered exactly what kind of player he was going to be. I questioned, especially the power numbers. I never thought we're going to get to get 20 home runs years ago, and of course he gets 20 again this year. It really kind of silenced all those doubts and has shown that he's going to be a piece for them in the middle of this order, really besides maybe Trey Turner and Daniel Murphy. He was their hottest hitter in the second half. So really, you know, just like you said, it's kind of get very comforting for them that they know this is a guy they have locked in. He's only in, I believe, his second year of arbitration was this year. So they've got him locked up for the next couple of years. You know, he's a guy who's plays really great defense over there at third base and is going to be a kind of valuable bat in the middle of that lineup. So a huge year for Rendon. He's won the comeback player of the year and really, like you said, established himself as a premier third base. So third base is a loaded position around majors in general, but he's definitely one of the premier third basemen in the National League.
Yeah, and you mentioned him defensively, and one of the reasons Zimmerman moved over to first, Rendon, the far superior defender at third base. How do the advanced metrics view him as a third baseman? Because he certainly passes the eye test. I mean, he's a guy that you see make the spectacular play and the steady play. Do the numbers like him too?
They do. They do like him a lot, and I mean, it's the kind of thing that he was at, living 2 years ago too. He was moved to second base, kind of just when they had acquired Yunel Escobar, and Escobar felt a lot more comfortable at third base, wasn't really to move from third base. So, you know, we kind of forced Rendon to move, which, you know, really kind of hurt them in 2015 because Rendon is such a superior defender. The metrics like him a lot. You can obviously just watch him and see. He's a guy who was a Gold Glove finalist this year and probably could win a couple of Gold Gloves, I should say. But just third base is so, so stacked. You look at a guy like Arenado, who could win the Gold Glove every single year, especially in the National League. Chris Bryant, he's going to have a case for that if he, you know, he moves around positions a lot, but he's a great looking third baseman. And you know, Rendon's a guy who at some point could probably sneak in there and get one, or get a Gold Glove or something. But he's a really good defender. You know, one of last year the strength of that left side of the infield with him and Espinoza really kind of, you know, the Nats really benefited from just some of the balls that they really got to and ate up over on that over that left side there. But you know, he's even more important right now defensively because of the way that the Nats have had to kind of move things around. Obviously, Espinoza being gone and some of the other defensive questions they're going to have, Rendon's going to be one of the guys who, you know, is a sure thing. That's a plus defender and a good defender. So he's very valuable in that respect. And especially, you know, would you see him, if he doesn't get into off to the slow start that he did in the first half of last year, get put together a complete season and a season to mirror to kind of what he was doing in the second half and what he did a couple of years ago. You know, it's an exciting time for them to think about what exactly they have with Rendon, who also is still very young and still could be getting better.
All right. How about bench pieces for the corners? Yeah. Wilmer Difo is there on the roster. Clint Robinson. Are both those guys safe to make this team, or is there going to be a little competition as far as backup infield work in spring training?
Yeah, Clint Robinson, I think, is an almost sure thing. He really did not have a great season last year either, but, you know, he's a guy who can cheat still under contract, has some power. They like him a lot as far as what he did a couple of years ago especially. So I would think that barring something unforeseen, he's kind of a backup. They're going to be the backup first baseman. And Wilmer Difo will probably play more middle infield, I should say. But they had him working out at third base a lot last year too, to kind of increase his versatility a little bit. I would expect during spring training you'll see him get some reps over there too. They don't really have a natural backup third baseman at the moment. Steven Drew, who's a free agent now, was kind of filling that role last year. They probably love to have Steven Drew back. He's kind of looking out for a starting role to see if he can land somewhere at second base or shortstop potentially. You know, he's still out there in the market, and if his you know, nothing kind of if his market still kind of stalls here next couple of weeks, you might see him be able to the Nats be able to snag him back or some kind of contract to come back and join their bench. But, yeah, right now, unless they bring some other people in, which I think they're going to try to bring some competition in, definitely, you know, whether it be some veterans or some young players. Emmanuel Burris is one of them who's going to compete for some middle infield spots and potentially the third base spot as well. You know, right now you think that Defoe is the favorite to be a backup, the backup infielder, backup utility guy, but I wouldn't necessarily call him a lock at this moment just yet.
All right, great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Nationals edition. For Jamal Collier, I'm Tim McMaster. That's it for your corner infield. Next week we tackle up the middle in the infield. Thanks for joining us on this podcast.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.